Please be seated. Yesterday, well, really Thursday evening through yesterday afternoon was a mountaintop experience for me and for many. I don't know if you saw on the photographs that were on the screen while we were having our breakfast. Thank you, Tess. The one where I'm kneeling at the rail, and Bishop Jones and Bishop Webb and Jim Welch have their hands on me. The man standing behind me next to Angela is Pastor Ken Munn. There it is. The one standing next to Angela is Ken Munn. He was a pastor of Faith Quest United Methodist Church when there was a Faith Quest United Methodist Church up in Atascocita at the Food City grocery store, had been converted to a church. And that's where Angela and I were together in ministry to the youth and then in the worship team. And it was Ken who influenced me and helped me to realize that I had a calling in ministry, and so it's all his fault. The fact that he could be there with Jim Welch during the ordination was such a gift. And as I said this morning, I know that although I was the one kneeling at the rail, it was not at all about me. And that's exactly, prophetically, what Paul is talking to us about in our epistle this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 16. He gives us a lesson this morning about keeping our focus on the main thing, that being not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is our focus. And when we, as ministers of the faith, and by the way, you are all ministers of the faith, I know you've heard me say that, but sometimes we need to hear it over and over again before it sinks in, that I'm not just a bystander. I'm not just an audience on Sunday mornings at a church service. I am the church. And as ministers of the faith, as the church, when we talk about Jesus to those who need it, those who need to hear it, Paul says that we need to focus not on ourselves, but on Jesus, on who he is, on what he has done, and not try to present ourselves as some kind of superior, all-wise expert on all things religious. It does us no good to take a posture of an expert. That's not what people need to see. They don't really care what you know. They care about how much you care. And so when we focus on us, we take the spotlight off of Jesus and we cast it on ourselves. And trust me, that spotlight is not nearly as bright when it's pointed at us as it is when it's reflected off the one true light, Jesus Christ. And so hear what Paul has to say in this passage of Scripture, written as a letter to the church in Corinth, but we know anytime Paul writes a letter, he writes it to us. I wonder if Paul was writing a letter today to the church, universal, what that letter would be like. It would be a pile of paper telling us every shortcoming that we have and how to correct it. But this letter to the church in Corinth, when we apply it to ourselves, speaks to us in such a way that we learn to focus our testimony on Jesus. It's our testimony, but it's not us, is it? It's Christ in us. And so this is what he says. He says, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Boy, have I been there. "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." What's he saying? He's saying, remember this, friends. When I first came to you and wanted to let you in on what God's doing, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy, the latest trend in progressive theology. No, I deliberately kept it plain and simple. I talked about Jesus first and who he is. And then I talked about Jesus and what he did. I talked about Jesus crucified, buried, and resurrected. Paul says, "I was unsure of how to go about this, and I felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death," if you want to know the truth of it. "And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anybody else, but the message came through anyway." There's a message in there for us as ministers of the faith. We may not be eloquent speakers. Our testimony is powerful, even when it seems to us to be ordinary. When we open up to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we decrease ourselves, and we allow Christ to increase in us, then we speak the message of Christ to people. When we take the role of herald of the gospel, of discipler, of teacher to those who need to hear about Jesus, when we do that, Christ shines through us with power and with the Spirit's words of wisdom and truth. Not our own human words of weakness and anxiousness and uncertainty, but with the Spirit's, the Holy Spirit's words of wisdom and truth. It brings to mind one of my first times preaching in front of people. Not in a mirror. Preaching in a church with my senior pastor, mentor, sitting in the congregation. And I was preaching on Romans 8, specifically the part that says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced," I can't even say this passage without getting choked, "I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Now, I recall that I was preaching on that particular scripture because it's one of those passages that I have long held as a theme for my life. And the thing about preaching about a passage like that for me was that I struggle preaching my own testimony. And one of these days we'll do it. Not today. My personal story of an uphill battle in the faith. As God was working on me, pursuing me, relentlessly working on me with His prevenient grace, and as I was running away from Him in this call to ministry, kicking and screaming and being dragged by my heels, I was struggling. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And when I finally relented, I wanted my testimony to be all about Jesus and not about me. Do you see the conflict? How do I tell about my faith journey, and make the spotlight fall not on me, but on Jesus? And so I turned to the Holy Spirit, and He gave me Paul's passage to the church in Corinth that gave me clarity and direction, especially when he said, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has ever understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Paul reminds us here, we have plenty of wisdom to pass on as Christians, as ministers of the faith. And once we get our feet securely and firmly planted in spiritual ground by going to Bible study and personal Bible study and personal prayer time and coming to a worship service and truly paying attention to what God is doing in the mission and ministry and life of the church, once we're mature Christians, we have this ability to pass on the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has given us. And we realize it's not popular wisdom. It's not the wisdom of the world. It's not fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. They'll publish a book and people will gobble it up as gospel, but it's not gospel. It's worldly wisdom disguised as the gospel. And then you won't be able to find that book on the bookshelf a year later because it just has no substance. The only substance comes from the Bible, the Word of God. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of God's purposes for you and for me and for His church. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest fad message, but more like the oldest message. The constant message, the continuous message, the everlasting message. What God determined as the way to bring out His best in us, long before we ever arrived on the scene as humans. The experts of our day don't have a clue about what God's eternal plan is, because if they did understand it, they wouldn't continuously be crucifying Christ with their hollow, blasphemous, heretical words. And that's why we have this scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it, what God has arranged for those who love Him. See, when we rely on the Holy Spirit, He uses our testimony. The faith walk of our lives, our sanctifying journey to proclaim Christ and to be Christ-like. Our faith story then, when we center it on Jesus, becomes an instrument of God's holy work. Proclaiming the gospel through us. For the edification of all those out there that need Him. The benefit of those who need to hear it. It transforms mystically from being our story to being God's story worked in us. It changes from being about us to being about Him. The victory of our salvation, which we proclaim in our testimony, is really His victory. The story of our success is not ours, but His. Because God is the expert. He's the expert witness. Not me, not you. To God belongs the honor and the glory. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, God is the expert. God is the expert. Relying on the Spirit gives us clarity as we deliver our testimony to those who need to hear it. Gives us clarity, gives us the power and the wisdom of God working in us and through us. Paul says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." Now we have received, Paul says, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Let me say that again. The Spirit works in us, in you and in me, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, which we then proclaim as our testimony about what God has done through us. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, Paul says, for they are foolishness to him. And he can't understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we know who God is? We look at Jesus. How do we know what God thinks? We look at the Word, which is Jesus. There's no gray area in the gospel. There's no room for interpretation. There's not my gospel and your gospel. Contrary to the popular train of thought, it does matter that we all agree on who Jesus is. It does matter. We can't all be in a big tent and think that Jesus is one thing or another thing, and whatever anybody thinks about Jesus, it's all okay because we're all unified in the big tent. Well, I've got news for you, Barnum and Bailey. The tent pole is coming down around your ears because it's not grounded in anything of substance. We have to agree on who Jesus is, and who He is what the Word of God says He is, Period. No exceptions.
Amen.
So, Paul is saying, whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? Who knows what is going on in my head except for me? And, oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit that resides in me. The same with God. Except that He not only knows what He's thinking, but He's gracious enough to let us in on it. If you'll just open the Word and read it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that He's given to us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God Himself, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on, Paul says, in the same firsthand, personal way. Here's the thing. You and I, as ministers of the faith, need to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. How do we learn? By study and by practice. We study God's Word, and from it we glean knowledge, and we look to the leading of the Spirit, and from Him we gain understanding of that knowledge. And a gift of the Spirit is the wisdom to know what to do with it once we understand it. And then we practice what we learn in our daily lives. We open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. He is our wise counsel. He is our guide. He shows us the mind of Christ so that we too have the same mind working in and through us. Then and only then are we ready and able to go and make disciples, teaching them all that Jesus taught and commanded us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand for our final...